Let's go to Washington, D.C., News Nation's Kelly Meyer. Kelly, good morning. Anything new on the administration's request to ask judges to unseal those Epstein grand jury transcripts?
You know, we haven't heard anything just yet. We know that the president pushed for that on Friday. But what we're watching for, you know, as this week kicks off, this is the last week that the House is in session on Capitol Hill before recess, even though the president is calling for at least the Senate Majority Leader to cancel recess to get his nominees appointed. But the focus for a lot of our questions will be asking these lawmakers what they make of this, as it seems as though they're having a tough time kind of either, you know, deciding whether or not they stay aligned with the president on this or they stay aligned with much of their base. And the MAGA base really is pushing back on this. I mean, I just posted about, you know, the president celebrating his first 6 months in office, and someone on X, you know, quote tweeted it and said, 6 months later, still no Epstein files. And these are people, you know, tweeting back that generally support the president, but are very frustrated over this. And you know, even the president posted yesterday talking about on True Social, my poll numbers with the Republican Party and MAGA have gone up significantly since the Jeffrey Epstein, as he calls it, a hoax, was exposed by the radical left Democrats, he says, and just plain troublemakers. So he's pushing back on that and also trying to shift the focus, as we saw as well on Friday with his director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, calling about the release of what they say are some memos that have to do with Obama administration era officials involved in potential cover up of this the 2016 Russiagate as well. So they're trying to shift the focus there.
The legal experts that I've heard are all saying don't expect a client list if these papers become public, and also it may take weeks or months to rule on this. Is that what your sources are telling you?
Yeah, and you know, I think we don't know exactly what's going to come out in this and if it will satisfy the questions of the base and the transparency that they're looking for. And it's just really interesting from our perspective watching this kind of unravel here in Washington, because you had members of his administration, from the Vice President J.D. Vance to Dan Bongino to his Attorney General, all saying that they wanted to see the list, they were going to reveal it. Even they brought, you know, some of those, you know, more right-wing influencers and journalists to the White House and gave them the file that said this is just phase one of this. So everything was laid out, and then to kind of pull the rug out from under their supporters in terms of, you know, showing more details, they're going to be left wanting to know all of the answers, and it doesn't seem like they'll be satisfied until they get that. So it's really interesting to see where this goes from here. And there's also this new reporting in the New York Times that there's a Jeffrey Epstein accuser that told the FBI on two occasions that Trump had ties to the disgraced financier, and that you know, she urged the Bureau to investigate people in Epstein's social circle, including President Trump, so or then civilian Trump, as he was in the business empire. So I think that might bring some more attention to it today, or, you know, at least get some reaction from President Trump on True Social, you know, kind of denying those claims.
Yes, the president obviously trying to put this firestorm out by, as you say, calling attention to his 6 months in office. And then he's leaving the country later this week, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's going to Scotland, I believe, at the end of the week on the 25th for a visit there. So, you know, we don't know how this will follow him as he goes overseas. Certainly the White House press corps that travels with him will be asking about it, even though they keep pushing back on those questions and that people continue to focus on this. But we're really just focused on what his supporters want to hear about or constituents want to hear about. And if they still have questions, then, you know, we'll still have to ask them about this. And, you know, I think it'll be really interesting to see what questions the lawmakers face this week. And, you know, I think it was really revealing when the House Speaker even said he wanted to see transparency. And that was a big break with President Trump. And you know, he has a huge relationship with him. But
right,
for him to say we need transparency really shows that he's shifting more towards the supporters and the base and his constituents, rather than maybe the president on this one.
With the White House obviously trying to change the subject here, I wonder about your opportunities to question the president. If do you think, well, I'm going to bring the Epstein matter up now. I better brace myself. He's going to erupt. You know, I think about those things. And also, the president has often said recently, we have zero inflation. And you know, according to the most recent numbers, the prices are up in the grocery store and other places. And you have to say at some point, you know, Mr. President, you're saying inflation is zero. There's no inflation. How do you explain? And then you bring up these facts. Do you sometimes feel like as soon as I ask this question, I'm going to run out of the press room and hide?
It's hard. Yeah, it's a really good question. And it's helpful to kind of explain it here and you know, get people to know this side of it and what it's like being in that room and trying to ask him. And I think, you know, it's important to take says or what not just sometimes, but what he says with a grain of salt, because or any politician, you know, you got to make sure that, you know, what they're saying is true. And I always tell people it's been great to have this access, I will say, with this president, to be in the room and be added to the pool and to get in there. But at the same time, you know, the access is good, but you have to watch what he's saying and if it's true or not and still press back. And sometimes, you know, you're asking the right question when you're getting a rise out of him or he does get frustrated at you. So in a sense, I think if he does get mad or frustrated, then hopefully I'm asking the tough questions. But it is certainly scary. You know, you're still questioning the commander in chief of the, of the United States. But at the same time, I think when you're in there, you kind of also just feel like he's just another human. And that's kind of how I've gone after my reporting here in Washington the last 10 years, that these senators, members of Congress, they're regular humans and they're there to represent other regular humans that I also am here to, you know, ask questions for. So I just try to keep it in that perspective, and it really just more humanizes him and makes it easier to ask him questions.
You're doing your job, part of being a good reporter. Well, since I'm a coward, I'll just give you my tough questions so you can ask the president.
Yeah, please, text me. Let me know what people are thinking. I love that. I want to make sure. I have so many. There's so many questions, and oftentimes I'm also in this like bubble of D.C., and sometimes you forget, you know, what's really important to everybody across the country. So please, make sure you have my number and text me your questions.
People will email and text us. We'll pass it along to Kelly Meyer, News Nation, Washington, D.C. Thanks, as always, Kelly. Appreciate it.
Thank you.